those first 13 verses there that talked about the promise of a son, if you will, to this barren mother and her husband, the priest by the name of Zacharias. And so, as I've said, she gives us some things that we can think about, and I hope that not only mothers would embrace these truths, but the things I'm going to talk about this morning would be good for all of us as children of God to embrace in our lives these wonderful traits about this mother by the name of Elizabeth. Wonderful mothers are to be applauded for their love, for their wisdom, for their examples, and most of all, for their devotion to the Lord. They can teach us so much that is worthy of our expression in our own lives. And that's why I've said that this lesson is good, not only for mothers, to encourage you to continue these traits in your life, but it's good for all of us because we learn so much. Elizabeth, the lady in our scripture text, is just such a person that I have just described, in particular for her devotion to the Lord, because, you know, the Bible says that they were both, that is Zacharias and Elizabeth, that they were both righteous. That's a great thing. All of us need to be righteous people before the Lord. The word righteous signifies being just without prejudice or partiality, always doing that which is right. And if you're not devoted to the Lord, you're going to find it hard to do that which is right. So this righteous lady then shows us some wonderful things. Before I get into talking about these wonderful things that she shows us, some things that we can learn, some things that we can apply in our lives, after the Bible says, if you continue to read, after Zacharias finished his duties at the temple, the Bible says that he went home and his wife, guess what? Conceived. Of course, he didn't believe it when the angel told him that. And because he did not believe, the Bible says that the angel said to him that you're going to be dumb. That is, you won't be able to speak until after the child is born. So he goes home, and the Bible says his wife conceived. They were an old, and I think I can use this word correctly. They were an old couple. The Bible doesn't say how old they were, but when it talks about them being well stricken in age, that tells me that they were an old couple. And that's why Zacharias was somewhat like Sarah. You remember when the angel came and said to Sarah, and guess what? She laughed. How in the world is this going to happen to me? Because I'm well stricken in age. And so Zechariah then didn't believe this, and because he didn't believe this, then the Bible says, again, as I've said, that you're going to be speechless, you're going to be dumb until this thing happens. Well, the Bible says when she conceived, then she hid herself, the Bible says, for some 5 months. And then the same angel by the name of Gabriel, who had approached Zechariah and gave him the good news, went and visited her first cousin, Mary, who would become the mother of Jesus. And this angel said to Mary that you're going to have a son. And she talked about all of the great things that this son is going to do. And then, of course, the angel told Zacharias and Elizabeth about all of the great things their son was going to do. And, of course, Mary She didn't understand how this was going to happen to her because she didn't even have a husband. She was only betrothed or engaged, if you will. So she didn't have a husband. But the angel said that the child that you're going to have, he's going to be conceived by the Holy Ghost. But she was a little bit different from Zacharias. She believed what the angel said to her. Well, the Bible goes on and says that after about 6 months, that is after Elizabeth had conceived, after about 6 months, Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. As Brother Martin would say, she went to visit cousin Elizabeth. So she went and visited her. And the Bible says, as soon as she entered Zachariah's house where Elizabeth was, and Elizabeth heard her salutation, that the babe in Elizabeth's womb leaped. Oh, and then that gets down to the conversation that we're going to have today with our very first point that we want to make. In the conversation that Elizabeth had with Mary, her cousin Mary, after she came to visit her, it shows something very wonderful and very great about Elizabeth. Elizabeth was going to have a son, right? Mary was going to have a son, right? The angel came to Zacharias first and then went to Mary. But Mary's son, if I can term it this way, was going to be greater than Elizabeth's son. But you know what? That didn't bother Elizabeth. The first lesson that I want to learn, want us to learn this morning and see from this righteous lady by the name of Elizabeth, who would become a mother, was that she esteemed Mary's blessing above all. That's something great for a mother, is to esteem another lady's blessing above all. How many times have you had mothers and fathers, for that matter, get upset because their child didn't score the point? They should have passed that ball to my son. They should have passed that ball to my daughter. They should have been the one to be the high scorer in the game. But this didn't bother Elizabeth. You notice what Elizabeth says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 42 and 43. When she knew that Mary was with child, she had great words of praise for her. That tells me again that she is esteeming her blessings above her own blessings. Listen to what she says. The Bible says, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, what? Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And then she says this statement, and whence is this, or what is this, that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Do you see her sort of condescending, putting herself down and elevating Mary, the mother of my Lord, coming to me? It takes a humble person to have a spirit like that. She had an unselfish spirit. It reminds me again of the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now the Bible says she begged basically that the Lord would set one of her sons on the left and one on the right. What did she want? She wanted her sons to somewhat be elevated above the other apostles. They were all apostles. They were all disciples of the Lord. That should have been enough for her. But she wanted her sons to have the top spot. She didn't have the spirit of Elizabeth. Elizabeth didn't care that the mother of her Lord was coming to her and was going to have the Savior of the world. You see, Elizabeth was only going to have the one that would prepare the way for the Savior. But Mary was going to have the Savior of the world. And so she says, blessed art thou among women. And then, what is it? Isn't this really something? That the mother of my Lord is going to come to me? In essence, sounding what she was saying, I should be the one going to you. But you coming to me. That's an unselfish spirit. Unselfish spirit. She again could have focused the attention on herself. She could have even shown resentment toward Mary. Well, the angel visited me first. Maybe I should have had the Savior of the world, since I was the first one that he came to. So she could have resented Mary's blessing. But she didn't. She was there supporting her all the way. Righteous mothers, wonderful mothers, will support one another and other people in the good works and the good deeds all the way. Doesn't matter, so to speak, who gets the credit. Just as long as we are doing the right thing. Oh, this is a beautiful lady, Elizabeth. She was right in Mary's corner. So she encouraged Mary as Mary expected her child. Listen to what she says in verse 44. For behold, the Bible says, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Now you notice I said that Mary believed when the angel, even though she didn't understand how this thing was going to be, she believed what the angel said. So here is Elizabeth now encouraging her, again saying, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. You see, Elizabeth again was satisfied with her role. As somebody, as they use this term now, stay in your lane, she was satisfied with the lane she was in. She was satisfied with her role. Her son, as I've said, would prepare the way for the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 76 through 79, the Bible says, and thou child, this is in reference to John the Baptist who would be born, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Elizabeth then, again, had this unselfish spirit, this humble spirit, the spirit that led her to esteem the blessing of Mary above her own blessing. She was willing to just operate, to just work in the role that God was going to use her in. She wasn't worrying about somebody else's role. She was satisfied with the role that she was in. And I say that to all of us, members of the church. Be satisfied with the role that you're in. You see, everybody can't be an elder. Everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody perhaps can't be a teacher. Everybody perhaps can't be a song leader. Somebody just needs to show people what is it. So oftentimes, everybody wants the big role. Nobody wants the little role. So stay in your lane. Let God use you where he wants to use you. Didn't the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of those verses in there, Brother Keeble said, read the whole chapter. But one of those verses in chapter 12 said, God has set members in the body as it pleased him. Not as it pleased me, but as it pleased him. So it pleased God to use Elizabeth to be the mother
of the preparer for the way of the Lord. And it pleased God to use Mary to be the mother of the Savior of the world. So Elizabeth had an unselfish spirit. Elizabeth had a spirit that would esteem others above herself. And perhaps as she would rear John the Baptist, perhaps she would teach him about this, or maybe in some other areas of her life, he was able to witness her humility in this. And perhaps that is the reason why that spirit pervaded him when he was operating in his role as being the preparer for the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice what John the Baptist said about himself in John chapter 3 and verse 28. The Bible says here, "Ye yourselves bear me witness." This is John the Baptist talking. "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the what? Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled." And then verse 30 says this. "He must" what? "Increase. I must decrease." John the Baptist is showing the same spirit that his mother Elizabeth showed. "I'm not the Christ. I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. I'm satisfied with just being his friend. He's the one that's going to increase. I'm going to have to decrease." So we don't see any antagonism between John the Baptist and Christ. He knows his role, and of course Christ would know his role. So John says, "I'm just thankful to be the friend." This will only happen, brothers and sisters, that is, this kind of spirit that Elizabeth displayed will only happen when we esteem others better than ourselves. No wonder when Paul the apostle wrote to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also," the Bible says, "on the things of others." Yes, indeed, Elizabeth, this righteous mother, esteemed Mary's blessing above her own. What a beautiful spirit for all of us to have. And then there's something else about this righteous mother that is worthy of note. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 61. "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father." Verse 60 says this, And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." Now when the angel approached Zacharias at the temple, and he told him that his wife was going to bear this child, the angel named the child. "His name shall be John." So when the child was born, now all the neighbors and the cousins are standing around after he's been circumcised. Nobody, as a matter of fact, they're going to say that nobody in the family got the name of Zacharias. I know this is going to be Zacharias. He's going to be Junior. He's going to be Zacharias. The neighbors and the cousins gets into it. But you notice what Mary says? Mary says, "Not so. His name shall be John." What's the point that we want to want to live from that. What's the next lesson we want to live from this righteous mother? The lesson is that Mary, or rather Zachariah, Elizabeth, stayed with the plan of God in naming her son. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, whatever you do, you need to always stay with the plan of God. I don't care what your cousins say. I don't care what your neighbors say. I don't care what your friends say. Don't even care what your enemies say. Always stay with the plan of God. And that's the beautiful trait about this righteous mother. No wonder they were called righteous. You see, righteous folks are going to stay with the plan of God. They don't care about what somebody else come up and say. They're going to stay with the plan of God. So I'm saying to us this morning, always stay with the plan of God. Well, and sometimes folks are not satisfied, Brother William, when you stay with the plan of God. They're going to find some way to try to, if you will, get you off the plan of God. So these neighbors and these cousins weren't satisfied with the answer that Elizabeth gave them. Now, what do they do? Listen to what the Bible says in verses 62 and 63. The Bible says, and they made signs to his father how he would have him called. Now, I'm sure that they just knew, Brother James, that the father was going to say, Zacharias. But you see, they weren't there when the angel approached Zachariah. I'm sure they were going to say, well, you've been waiting for a child. Your wife has been barren all these years. Now y'all are old, and God is going to bless you with a child. I know you want this child to be named Zacharias. So they says, what you going to say? What you going to say? Well, at that point in time, he couldn't say anything because he was still speechless. But then the Bible says, Zacharias motioned to him and said, bring me a pad. And they brought him a pad, and he wrote down. What do you think he wrote down? Zachariah? No, sir. Wrote down, his name shall be John. I want to tell you again, when folks try to get you off God's plan, you stay with God's plan. That's the only way you're going to remain righteous, by continuing to do what God would have you to do. And so this righteous lady wouldn't let her neighbors, wouldn't let her cousins get off the plan of God. The Bible says again, and they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table. And he wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled. Oh, they were surprised. They were shocked, I'm sure. And here this man been waiting for a child, no doubt, all of his life. And then he writes down something other than Zacharias. They marvel at it all. They both, that is husband and wife, both followed God's plan. Now, they were unlike the first husband and wife. Y'all remember the first husband and wife? Who was the first husband and wife? If I've asked the question, all of you would say Adam and Eve, wouldn't you? They were unlike Adam and Eve. They didn't stay with God's plan. God gave them the plan, but they didn't stay with it. You know how God said in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, out of all the trees that stood in the garden, you may freely eat. But of the one that sit in the midst, thou shalt not eat, because of the day that you eat of it, you're going to surely die. That was God's plan. Don't eat off the tree. Don't even touch the tree. That's God's plan. Now, this world wouldn't be in the shape that it was in today if they had just stayed with God's plan. But they allowed the serpent to get them off God's plan. So the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, you know the story. He comes to Eve. And he has this conversation with Eve. She looks and sees that the tree is good and pleasant to the eye. And she partook of it and gave to her husband. And the Bible says that he did eat. Now they both off of God's plan. What a contrast between Adam and Eve and Elizabeth and Zacharias. The cousin tried to play the devil's role, if you will, to get Miss Elizabeth off her plan,
off of God's plan. She wouldn't budge. So they go to the Father, and he wouldn't budge. What a contrast. Even when we think about the one that we call the father of the faithful, Abraham, Elizabeth and Zacharias was different from Abraham and Sarah. Sarah had the problem with God's plan, of course, and she goes to Abraham and says, in so many words, this thing ain't going to be. So you take my handmaid and you go in unto her. And the Bible says Abraham agreed with that. What had they done? They got off of God's plan. And because of they got off of God's plan, the Bible says that this maid was despised. Was despised by Sarah. Well, what? My question is, Brother Jimmy, why is she getting all upset for? She was the one suggested it. So oftentimes, we get off of God's plan, and we get trouble in our lives, and then we start blaming God, or we start blaming somebody else. Well, if we just stayed with God's plan, we wouldn't have all that trouble in the first place. Whenever you leave God's plan, you're looking for trouble. So I say to all of us this morning, stay with God's plan. Stay with God's plan in your marriages. Stay with God's plans in your friendship. Stay with God's plan in the church. Stay with God's plan, and whatever you do, you stay with God's plan. No wonder the Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse number 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it by God's plan. Everything will be all right. This righteous mother, this righteous lady by the name of Elizabeth, wouldn't allow cousins or friends or neighbors to get her off of God's plan. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So, number one, she esteemed Mary's blessing above her own. Number two, she didn't allow anybody to get her off God's plan. What else? One other lesson that we ought to learn from this story. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 65 and 66, after they had witnessed the friends and neighbors, had witnessed what had happened there, how she stayed with God's plan. The Bible says, and fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him that was with John. Notice some things that happened here. Fear came on them. They talked about what had occurred. They kept the things they had witnessed in their hearts. That is, the people that witnessed this and heard about this. What's the lesson? The third lesson that we want to learn from this righteous mother. Her actions, along with her husband's actions, of course, had a great impact on the people in the area. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Because of what she did, it had a great impact on the people that witnessed it. Again, fear came on them. They talked about what had occurred. They kept the things they witnessed in their hearts. And perhaps now, just maybe, some of these people would become disciples of John. Because they remember the things that were done and said surrounding the birth and the naming of John. And they would also, they heard that Zacharias prophesied about Christ and also about John in verses 6 to 7 and following. Zacharias prophesied some things about John and also some things about the Lord. All of these things had a great impact on the people that heard and witnessed these things. And that's exactly the type of life that you and I ought to live, so that what people see, what they hear about us, what they remember about us ought to have a great positive, when I'm talking about impact now, I'm talking about positive, ought to have a great positive impact on them. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters, as being members of the body of Christ. Our lives ought to be lived in such a way that we make a positive impact on folks that know us, that hear about us, that they can remember and talk about those righteous folks. Oh, yes. People are affected by what you do and what you say, both positive and negatively. But I'm emphasizing the positive this morning. We need to strive to live positive lives so folks will be impacted positively by us. No wonder Jesus says in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, we know it so well, I'm sure, that you're the light of the world. And you're the salt of the earth. And he goes on and said, let your light so shine that men may see what? Your good works. And as a result of them seeing your good works, they'll do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. But here's another great testimony of people having a positive, Christian people having a positive impact on people around about. Just like Mary, or rather Elizabeth, had a positive impact on all the folks round about. Listen to what Paul said about the Christians at Thessalonica. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Paul is talking about these Christians now. He says, and you became what? Followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And the next passage says this, so that ye were what? Examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. And verse 8 says this, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not say anything. Don't you see this in Elizabeth? What happened as a result of the birth of John and the action that Elizabeth took and how these people, they fell on them, the Bible says, and this was noised all around, and how they remembered these things. Don't you see that impact? The same thing here. He says, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Our lives ought to be lived in such a way, brothers and sisters, that no matter where we go and where we don't go, if somebody has been here and can testify what a great Christian I am and you are, when they go somewhere else where folks don't even know us, they can talk about somebody they met down here in Huntsville, Alabama, how they were loving, how they were caring, how they were sharing, how they were just faithful and worshiping the Lord, and how they were helping people, and how they were just forgiving people and doing all those kind of things. That will make a great impression no matter where we are. Mary's action, I keep saying Mary, Elizabeth's action made a great impression, not only just in her surrounding community where they were living there in the hill country in Judah, but all around, the Bible says, it was noised abroad when it happened there. So the takeaway from this, church, is that's all of us, men and women, girls and boys, be an Elizabeth. Be an Elizabeth. Let's esteem others better than ourselves. Let's stay with God's plan. And let's live a life so that we can have a positive impact on folks everywhere. That's what God wants. That's what he wants. And he's not pleased unless we do it that way, because his word teaches us such. So if we want to be saved and see God's face in peace, we're going to have to strive to do his will. Be God's willing.
Be God's will. I'm going to talk about tonight. Obedience makes all the difference. It's all about obeying God. If we don't obey God, we're going to miss it in the end. If we don't esteem others better than ourselves, we're going to miss it in the end. If we don't stay with God's plan, we're going to miss it in the end. If we don't live our lives such that others will be positively impacted by us, we're going to miss it in the end. Why? Because all of these are commands of God. And your Bible and my Bible says, blessed is he that doeth his commandments, for they shall enter in through the gates to the city. All you have to do is take the reverse of that. If you don't do it, don't keep his commandments, don't esteem others better than yourself, don't stay with God's plan, don't live a life so that you can positively impact others for Christ, won't make it through the gates. We all want to go through the gates, though. So let's all be Elizabeths. Let's all be Elizabeths. If you're here then this morning and you're not a member of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you to become a member of the body of Christ. That's the church of Christ. Because the church of Christ is the gate to heaven. And if you want to go to heaven, you've got to go through the gates. Genesis 22 and 17. Jacob had a dream. And he said, this is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 says that the house of God is the church. So if the house is the church and the church is the gate, to get to heaven, you've got to go through the gate, go through the church. Just that simple. You're not a member of the body of Christ, the one that you can read about in the New Testament. Not any church, but the one you can read about in the New Testament. Here's how you become a member. Hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10 and verse 32. Be baptized in the water and grave with baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to the church. Once you add it to the church, then be faithful. And if you're faithful, you'll be righteous. You'll do the right thing. You'll do what God's will says. Be faithful unto death. Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. Would you obey the Lord then this morning? If you're already in the body of Christ, but somehow maybe you're not doing the things that you ought to do. Maybe some of these things, one of these points, is not evident in your life that I talk about this morning. Or maybe some other things, according to the will of God, is not evident in your life this morning. And you're walking contrary to his will. You need to repent. Because again, Jesus says in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. So if you need to repent, we want to encourage you to do that. You need to confess your faults. We encourage you to do that. Or if you just need prayer, whatever your need is. You need to obey the Lord in baptism. We want you to come. You need to confess of it every way of which you repented. We want you to come. You need prayer. We want you to come. And do that right now while we're standing. While we're
standing.
Come this morning, will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come?
somebody needs to come this morning. Will you come and obey the Lord? Will you come?
Come to this part of the service now where we reflect back on the life of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done in order to save us from our sins, which are represented here in these simple elements. The unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. I want to share with you some thoughts from the big book of Hebrews concerning this sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin to read here in just a moment of how the blood of bulls and goats could not take away those sins, but were only capable of rolling those back, literally meaning that our sins would never depart from us without the proper sacrifice. Jesus came to offer himself as a perfect sacrifice to God in order to remove those sins that we have all committed. And as you know and as I know, the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. Christ came to justify us. Let me share these thoughts with you, starting at verse number 1. It says, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come of themselves. The sacrifice under the system was repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleaning from those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleaning, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all times, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of the sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings of other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures. For first Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings of offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. He canceled the first covenant in order to put the second one into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time. I thank God for that sacrifice once for all time. You should be happy. You should be so appreciative of what God has done for you. In the name of Jesus. At this time, we're going to ask our brother to the left to pray for the bread, and our brother to the right to pray for the cup.
Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for living over us last night and waking up this morning. This blessed Lord's Day and Mother's Day. Father, as we get ready to prepare ourselves to take the bread and represent your Son's broken body, let us examine ourselves so we can be well worthy of it. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus.
And as we continue, Father, thanking you for thy Son, plan of salvation, we ask that you bless the contents of this cup, fruit of the vine, represent the Son's shed blood, wash away our sins. We ask that all that partake of this cup take it in a manner both pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. It's in his name. Amen.
After reading how God specially prepared Jesus to offer up his body for the perfect sacrifice on our behalf, it only makes sense that we prepare ourselves to offer those things that we treasure. For the scriptures clearly teach us for where a man's treasure is, that will be his heart also. And even though those things that we deem treasures will not last for eternity, God asks us to give it in support of the work, in support of the church, that we can always be ready to do those things that are pleasing and acceptable to God. So we ask you to give your offering. Give it with a cheerful heart,
yes. Yes.
Free from guilt, free from regret. Let us pray. Father, dear God, we thank you once again for allowing us this opportunity to go through last week and earn our livings,
yes,
and support ourselves. And Father, we take pleasure in being able to give back just a small portion of what you've given us throughout our lives,
yes,
throughout last week, and even through to today. Jesus Christ, my Lord, thank you for him. Bless this offering that is about to be given today. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you have any visitor's cards, any prayer requests, if you just pass those through the center aisle, I will collect them and we will recognize your request.
Like I say, good morning to everyone. It is good to have all of us here this day, this first day of another week. We're thankful that you have been here to witness another worship service held in honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We again trust that the lesson that Brother Branch brought to us this morning and the services in its entirety will serve us in a positive way, that it will uplift our spirits and give us a better outlook on our obligation that we have for our Lord Jesus Christ. We have 145 in attendance, and we'd like to thank God for all of that. Those of you who have come, we did receive one visitor's card, and Carolyn McCauley, she's a guest of Daryl and Christy McCauley. And Carolyn, if you would, just throw your hand up. Let us see who you are. Thank you so very much for being with us here at Northwest this morning. Come back and be with us again. So good to have you. And others, if we did not receive a visitor's card on you, take time and fill out one and just give it to any member. They know what to do with it so that we'll have a record of your being here with us. Again, you're all invited to come whenever the doors are open here at Northwest. Again, thank Brother Branks for a wonderful, wonderful lesson and on this wonderful Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in our audience this morning. Lessons from a righteous mother. I'd like to thank him very much for a very appropriate lesson. just a few acknowledgments that we have to share with you. What was that song title? Number 867. I knew I was forgetting something. 867. Be marking that one for our dismissal. The some of the seniors have requested some of the photo material from the event, and those of you who would like to request that material, there's a clipboard in classroom number 4 that's sitting alongside of the same clipboard that we use to request our sermons. So just go to that room back there and make your request on that clipboard. That clipboard is labeled senior citizen material, and just sign up for any of the material that you would like to get. We make copies of the PowerPoint, a CD of the PowerPoint, and there also we can do hard copies of all the photos, along with a CD of all the photos. So if you would like any of that material, just sign up for it and we'll get you that material. We have a couple of cards that we would like to acknowledge. As I'm opening those, I'm reminded of another announcement that we would like to make. All the ladies will receive, all the mothers or all the ladies will receive a special gift this morning. As you leave the auditorium, or before we leave, as you leave the auditorium, so don't get in big hurry and go off and miss your gift. All the ladies, we have two cards. This first card is a thank you card coming from Sister Barbara Smith. She just like to express her thanks for all our cards, prayers, and phone calls during her time of need. And she asks that we continue to pray for her and her family. You're appreciated more than you'll ever know, she says. Beautiful card. We'll post it in the information center so that all of us can see that. And another card comes to us. Oh, I'm loving this photo on the outside. This is, my goodness, Jamia Crutcher, class of 2014. How time flies. The senior class of Lee High School announces their commencement exercises Friday afternoon, May 23rd, 2014, 3:30 p.m. at the Von Braun Civic Center. An invitation from Sister Jamia Crutcher, graduating already. My goodness. All right, let us be mindful of both of these notices. I did not receive any prayer requests that were handed in. Let us just be mindful to pray for all of those who we are aware of, to just pray all the time for each other. We have those who have lost loved ones. We have sickness in the family. We're having problem with family members, grandkids. Let us be prayerful for all of these. And those of us who are parents, we know we can relate to many, if not all of these. So let us be mindful to pray for these who are in need of prayer. Amen. And those recovering from surgery, I learned this morning. Let us just be prayerful all the time. These are all of the acknowledgments that I have, and we pray that God will bless us with a wonderful afternoon and that he'll bring us back at the appointed time. Let us be standing.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. settles in the sight of the Lord.
And he will lift you up. And he will lift you up. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
That saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch like me.
Let us bow. Dear Father, we are thankful unto you for allowing us this privilege to assemble this morning. Father, we are thankful that we live in such a land that we can assemble peacefully without fear of harm or danger coming to us, O Father, and that we can seek your requirements for us in peace, and we can discharge our duties before thee in peace. We're thankful, Father, for those who lead and guide the flock here. We pray, Father, that you might just continue to bless them with the wisdom and the knowledge, O Father, to share with the flock those things that are required by thee. And help us, O Father, to all learn to work together and just live together in love and in unity, O Father, doing those things that we pray one day might make us worthy to enter eternal glory with thee. Father, we ask thee to forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our shortcomings, O Father, and just help us always, Father, to be just exhibit a spirit of humility and a penitent heart, O Father, before thee, for we know that we all are just filthy rags before thee, right, even at our best, O Lord. Father, we ask thee to just bless those who are on our prayer request list. Bless those, Father, that we're not even aware of. Just bless us all, Father, as we all stand in need of prayer. These and other blessings we ask in the name of thy Son, Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen.
All right. All right, brother. All right.
Thank you.
blood.